Go ahead. Let's hear.
I'm hitting the record button.
The record button.
That's right. Well, it's good to be back finally once again this week, speaking with you and being a part of the Dawn and Wind show. And, you know, every week I look forward to it. Last week we didn't get a chance to do the show, unfortunately, because we were having some schedule problems. But it's good to be back.
Right. I'm not very talkative today, Don.
You're not talkative today. Are you okay?
Yeah. I have to figure out what I'm supposed to talk about.
You didn't spill your milk, did you?
Nope.
Good.
Well, let's see. Well, let's start somewhere. We're living in the world, and the world's going through changes, and everyone wonders what's going to happen next. Those of you that have read the channeling that we posted, and I'm one of those people that I don't channel directly. I do get dream messages, but I have close friends that channel, and that I've been in communication with what identifies themselves as these group souls on the other side. And, you know, you were bringing up the idea just before we started the show, Don.
Right.
That, how do you know how to believe channeled material and when to believe it?
Right.
And we were having an interesting about that because...
And I didn't turn off, of course, the phone automatic caller, so we might hear some beeping. Because
okay.
You phoned me, and normally I'm supposed to phone you, and I can cut this out. But unfortunately, we might have to deal with beeping this time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Beeping's good.
Well, you know, for very many years of my life, I didn't really pay attention to channeled material. I didn't trust it. No, you know, there's a tendency, I would say, that everyone has this. If something says something that seems accurate or psychically correct and matches something, there's a tendency to keep believing it. In fact, one of my friends just had this circumstance where she got hooked by a bunch of gypsies who tuned into some very accurate information about her, started running it to her, and then suddenly she gave up all her power and lost money, and luckily she's still alive because one of the ways the negative can work, the negative can have you know, psychic abilities. In fact, one of my dream messages says the negative will do anything it can to appear positive.
Well, you know what they're doing to me right now, don't you?
Who? The negative?
The negative.
Yeah.
They're causing me to live in a wire heaven.
A wire heaven?
That's right. I got wires and equipment, new equipment strewn all over the place. And we got beeps and honks and whizzes and things, overlay software going wild. And all my shows are sounding a little weird as I'm putting this all together. And it's a little ridiculous. But, you know, you have to laugh because you think, you know, no matter what you do to sometimes try to prevent this stuff, it's just going to happen anyway. So,
so
I call that negative.
Well, you know, one of the things, now, one of the influences that I've had for a long period of time is the Ra channelings from Carla Ruckert.
Right.
And those who are familiar with the story know that I wrote a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where a group soul, they identify themselves as a group soul, identifies itself as Ra. And that same Ra supposedly was talking through a woman named Carla Ruckert. And actually, there's a bunch of those questions and answers of those Ra channelings that are available for free on David Wilcox's website, Ascension 2000. And many people, you know, one thing is if something is really good, usually it stands the test of time.
Right.
That doesn't mean everything that stands the test of time is positive. But in general, positive things lose their shine. They're, in fact, one of the criteria that Carla Ruckert said was, if it's true 10,000 years from now as it is now, you can be sure it's probably good information.
Yeah.
And when you ask questions to a channeled source, if you ask what they call transient questions, like what's happening tomorrow, are we going to have an earthquake, that does not mean you're getting wrong information or a negative source, but it opens up the potential for that.
Well,
okay,
what is a channeled source? I mean, everybody, you know, there's a lot of questions as to exactly what is channeled source. Some people say that they hear things in their head. Some people say they hear it from the spirit world, and it's just like communicating. Some people say they speak to aliens, and that the aliens give them concepts, ideas, pictures, and some of them say, oh, no, you know, they give me words, or, you know, I mean, what does channeling or entail exactly?
Well, the implication is that someone, a human, has somehow become a receiving station for something not of their own consciousness, outside of their own consciousness. You know, we all have this veil, everyone, that blocks us from the direct perception of other dimensions. And we can move through that veil, we can penetrate that veil, but we can't do it with our senses. Our senses aren't designed to get through the veil. So some people in their dreams, some people kind of go into a trance state. Some people open up their higher chakras and suddenly there's this link that allows beings beyond the veil to put thoughts into a person's mind, and then the person can verbalize those thoughts.
Right.
And, of course, the question is, when people are having this experience, It almost seems like you're thinking the thoughts yourself. So it becomes, you need some kind of evidence of some sort that the thoughts are outside of your own imagination or your own, your own daydreaming abilities and are actually coming from a consciousness in higher dimensions.
Right.
Then the other thing is, just because it's coming from a consciousness in higher dimensions doesn't mean it's positive. This is where it gets really tricky when it comes to channeling. And anyone who thinks it's an experience they want to have, they better read, Carla Ruckert has a book called The Channeling Handbook, and it's a very, very good book to guide people into it. You know, when Carla Ruckert was channeling Ra, according to her own channeled information, there was a negative being that was attacking her that wanted to stop this channeling from occurring. And they were attacking her physical body, where her physical body was weak. And oftentimes, it seemed like she might die as a result of it. And in fact, her husband at the time wanted to stop the channeling because he was so concerned about it. But she wanted to keep bringing it through. Now, you know, from the earthbound plane, when you look at something like that, you say, well, why is it if somebody is doing something so good, which her channelings are kind of recognized as the penultimate of channelings in terms of a high source, why aren't they protected? Well, the bottom line is, wherever you, a person, has a predisposition where their shadow self is not resolved, you are susceptible to being attacked. Just like in the world. You know, wherever your shadow is, somebody can latch onto that and manipulate you through that.
Right.
So, you know, it comes to understanding your shadow side and also having a very high intent. I mean, if your intent is truly to serve and to be of service, then it's possible that you can connect with a very high source and bring that information through, and it will be helpful to other people.
Right.
But if you're if you have the least bit intent to get attention, to be a center of attention, to get followers, you know, those all those kinds of things can really tempt a negative source. And it's very, very hard to know the difference. I mean, even I have been fooled at different times with negative sources coming through Girlfriend X in particular. And they were doing things that if I did what they said, would have discredited myself. In fact, in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, when Ra was talking through David, it was said that both David and Cayce had channeled negative sources at different times. And one of Cayce's negative channelings, which they identified it, they said it was a negative channeling, was the prophecy that Cayce did, which is probably his most famous prophecy, about the devastation, about California going into the sea, Tokyo disappearing in the wink of an eye, New York and Europe. And this was supposed to happen in the year 2000. And Ra, through David, said that didn't come from them. It came from a negative they called it a trickster entity. And I looked up that channeling, and sure enough, that entity, that particular reading, had a sign, or it was signed by a being by the name of Hilaliel, and who said that I am in the heavens as Christ is to your planet. And then, as I searched his name through all the Cayce readings, I found out that the Cayce study groups decided not to invite that entity to be channeling anymore through Cayce.
Right.
That they didn't trust it. But today, there are so many books out that quote that particular prophecy, and if you do a search on the web on Edgar Cayce, you'll find that there are naysayers, people that don't want to discredit Cayce, and use that prophecy to say it didn't come about. So that's a way of discrediting everything else that Cayce did.
Right.
Now, Ra, through David, said that they corrected that prophecy elsewhere. They said these changes will happen gradually. And but that was only like one little sentence, and the other was like a really long prophecy, very specific. And I remember years ago when I was reading Cayce, I noticed that discrepancy. I noticed that they were different, but I didn't understand why. And then, lo and behold, here I write a book where the same source corrects it. Now, of course, you know, this becomes like a wall of mirrors, because if you're trying to figure out who's on first, you'd have to say, well, how about if the source correcting it is the negative source and the other source is the positive source? You know, this is where do you start trusting? And this is where discernment comes about. And you really have to feel the intent of the source. Just like in life, you have to feel the intent of the people around you. You can't take people at face value, because people can say anything. And, I mean, they say the right words. Oh, it's all love and light. And at the same time, they're stealing your energy or stealing your money, or they don't have an intent. And over a period of time, their intent will reveal itself, usually too late, because you got taken. So this is where each person cannot give up their power to anything out of themselves. They can use things and say, okay, I've learned from this and I've learned from that. But you don't look to be a blind follower of any human being or any channeled information. There's a very good chance you're going to get misled. Not necessarily. I mean, even if you're a blind follower of a positive source and correct information, If you haven't integrated it, so it's part of yourself, you're still just, you don't have it in your gut. You're just,
just another ordinary.
Mimicking someone, mimicking Salsa's words. And maybe you think you're smarter than other people because you have the inside track on some prophetic information, but you don't really get it yet. It's not integrated into your being. How does it get integrated into your being? The key to integrating it into your being is when you can live it, when you can walk it, when you can experience yourself, really experience yourself as part of divinity on this planet, where you know without a shadow of a doubt that that's true. And if a source helps wake you up to that, then that's probably a good source. In fact, if a negative source wakes you up to it, it doesn't matter because you're using it in a positive way and you're getting it. So it's all very tricky, and it always comes down to what resonates. What resonates? Now me, I had a group coming through that said they were the Elohim. And, you know, I looked up the word Elohim and it said God of the Old Testament, the group that was talking to Joseph Smith. And
well, let me ask you some questions.
Well, let me just finish this thought. And then I said, well, is this really the Elohim? I don't know that it's really the Elohim. I'll be open to the possibility. And what does it mean to me if it is the Elohim? How do I use that? And I had the experience where they proved that they could be prophetic. They proved they could do a miracle of healing. Go to my website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and you can read about it. And I still wasn't sure, but I did keep, like I said, I would pay attention to this over a long period of time and make my decision. And, you know, I do think my communications have come from the Elohim. And who are the Elohim? Well, when you say God of the Old Testament, it kind of gets intimidating, but they're a group soul. They're a group soul that used to be like us billions of years ago, and now they're an oversoul, and they help run the universe. And they're not God in the way that religion makes God out to be, but they are very powerful. They are very caring about our planet, and they are trying to assist us in the shift that's happening, and I have trusted their intent. But every time we do a channeling, that doesn't mean I don't have any room for doubt that perhaps that's not the Elohim coming through. Maybe they say they're the Elohim. So I have to look at the resonance of the words. So whenever there's things that are just wisdom, wisdom stands on its own legs. You don't have to prove anything. When you're talking about things of the future, you know, at one point, when I was writing the book, there were these predictions that Ra was making about how things were going to fall apart. And that was like, this was the year 2000. And as I was writing the book, I said, well, geez, this is kind of scary. I don't know if I want to put this in the book, but I have to. And then I've watched all those things come about that were written in the book. Or, you know, not all of them, because some of them are still to come about. But in general, the trend of what was said is certainly in gear right now. And if we talk about things falling apart in the future, from the perspective where we are now, it seems like you don't need to be a prophet to figure that out. I mean, things are pretty broken down. Our economy's broken down. Our government's broken down. Our resources are broken down. And it seems that we're like on a narrow thread, a small thread that's holding it all together. Now, I hope that's wrong. I hope it can hold together. But on the other hand, what they're saying is this breaking down and falling apart is part of the process of evolution, because it will turn people, you know, this, of course, everyone listening to the show is going to have to be involved in this process over the next couple of years. And it's up to you guys to hold the loving space around everything, even when you're tempted to go into fear and into self-servingness and concern. That's the challenge.
Well, you know,
Don, I'm not letting you talk yet.
No, you're not, but that's okay. I love listening to you. I was just, you know, remember, the reason I wanted to interject is because that point I made earlier to you,
mm-hmm.
Before we got onto the show, mm-hmm. it was about, you know, different channeled sources and what that means,
mm-hmm.
and I told you how I felt about certain channeled sources, and what I guess that all means is that because there's so many conflicting channeled sources, and some of them say great, now remember, some of them say there's going to be huge earth changes, and that everybody should get prepared, and everybody should, you know, figure out a safe place to live, get prepared. Some people are saying one thing on earth changes. Other people are saying Atlantis is going to rise and Lemuria is going to rise. Some people are saying the sun is going to wipe us all out. There's going to be 3 days of darkness, 3 days of light. I mean, prophecy or channeling sources or whatever. But what I've also realized, I think, is that the reason there's so many conflicting reports is because they're all targeted to various vibration levels. In other words, there might be somebody out there, let's call him Man A, and he's at a frequency of 300, 400. Well, then some of those sources are speaking right to that individual. Whereas another person might be at a frequency of 500, and there's another source saying something completely different, speaking to that individual.
Mm-hmm.
But Now I believe this. So if I believe this and I believe that it's an accurate assessment, I must realize or come to the realization that the ones with a higher vibration are the ones that are more, that are a truer message. They're coming from the highest source for the highest good of all concerned. And if that is the case, which I assume it is, then only those messages of joy, peace, and love mean anything. Especially now in a dynamic realm where we have a lot of energies working on us. We are manifesting this, our existence and or our experience. And as the higher and stronger energies are working on us, that creative ability is exponentiated, and therefore we need to get people to start tuning in to those messages that are of the highest vibration, in other words, that have zero fear.
Let me just say, instead of saying tuning into those messages, couldn't we say tuning into the vibration?
Right.
In other words, it's like the vibration of higher sources stands on its own.
Right.
It comes in, it changes you, you can feel the energy, it uplifts you, and if there's words attached to that, then more power to it. But when you're looking for the right messages, it's like you're looking for a mental solution, something to latch onto. And to me, that's going to take you into a negative direction.
Well, I don't know about that. Searching for answers or searching for the truth, I don't think necessarily will take you into a negative direction.
Not searching for the truth, but finding the truth is not finding a word. It's as I understand it, the essence of truth, if we want to use the word truth, the essence of truth is being able to be a human link where energy flows through your body from the higher dimensions, from the galactic center, and grounds into the planet. You know, Edgar Cayce said 10 people of pure consciousness could stop a disaster in an area.
But again, I know that, but truth to one is different than truth to another.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is not a verbal thing. Do you know...
Folks, sorry about this. I'm going to interject. We have a call in here on our show, and I forgot to turn that off. We're not going to be taking call-ins on this particular show. Call-ins are going to be starting Monday. This coming Monday, we'll be starting to take call-ins for our live broadcasts. But until that time, we will not be taking any call-ins due to the sophistication of this equipment and me not being able to set it up correctly. So I'm hoping that I'll have that done by tonight, and tomorrow we'll be able to take call-ins. So again, I apologize for that interjection. Wynn? What did I just say?
You're apologizing for the
There you go.
And your phone was ringing in the background.
Right on. That's why we love Wynn Free here, folks.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So, you know, when we talk about bringing in high vibration and being a human grounding lightning rod, so to speak, for these vibrations and moving them through your body and into the earth, when we talk about that, we're not talking about a message. You know, you can walk into a number of different churches, depending on who the minister is, depending on his own level of anchoring. He will help anchor all those people in that church. Now, he may, one church may be worshiping Allah, another church may be worshiping Jesus, and you know, it doesn't matter, because the energy is the same that's coming through. The Christed energy doesn't relate to names. And even if you use a different name with the right intent, you'll get the energy. Now, the challenge that everyone has is that we have these blocks in our body that keep us from being these channels of this higher energy. And the key is, how do you release those blocks? How do you get through those blocks so that you can become a more perfect receptacle and able to anchor higher energies on the planet?
Well, again, doesn't that come back to the fact that what we're trying to do is remove the fear and any messages that, like, let's say someone out there, just for instance, I know I'm backtracking a bit here, but I still haven't got a definitive answer yet, I think, for the audience. What I'm trying to say is, let's say that there's two messages right now being spread out there. Mm-hmm. And let's say message A says, catastrophe's coming, many people are going to die, beware, beware, be ready. And another message is, just as influential throughout, let's call it the media and the news or on the internet, whatever you're tuning into, but that one's saying, no, higher beings are now taking care of that, transmuting these energies into, let's say, undersea volcanoes. That's why there's hundreds of percent increases in undersea volcanoes, because and offshore calamities, and they are going to transmute the negative energy away from the human population so that the great catastrophes that are prophesied will not occur. Now, let's say those two messages are being repeated in equal time, and somebody here is listening to both messages. One's a little fearful, and one's something he just loves, but yet, you know, the more fearful one seems more real to him. Well, you tell me, in that situation, what should that person do? Because that's exactly the situation people are in that are emailing and that are talking to me at all the time.
Well,
what message is true?
You know, I would say, when it comes to that kind of information, you and I don't know. We can think, we can hope, but we don't know.
That's,
you know what? You know, the message that says everything is okay and there's nothing to worry about.
Well, what should...
Just listen a moment. Let me just make the point. That, you know... A lot of times, if you're in a war, the enemy will not tell you. You know, there's a tactic that says the enemy won't tell you what their power is, and they get you to go into a place you think is safe, and then they ambush you. So, you know, how do you know whether somebody's setting you up for an ambush or if it's real? I mean, how do you know, my friend who just got conned by these gypsies? They said, "Oh, you're so beautiful. You're such an angel." She loved hearing it. She followed them around until they scammed her. You know, keep in mind that when you talk about con, the best con is the one that makes you feel good and distracts you and then pickpockets you while they're doing it. So It's very, very tricky.
So in other words, don't listen to any of the messages or what? What should the guy do?
I would say the first thing is this thing, and what I said before, I'll reiterate, that if you start anchoring the higher energies.
And what's that? Which message?
This is my message. This is me dissecting a lot of experience. If you, an individual, anchors the higher energies, they will have more of a predisposition to have protection in the area where their physical body is. And if they, if you notice, every time we end a show, we do this calling in the light. And to me, that's an invocation to anchor those higher energies. Now, if you talk about earth changes, most people are not in a position to move. I mean, even if they wanted to, they wouldn't, unless they absolutely knew for sure they'd leave town on a given weekend. But then, I remember years ago...
I don't know. That's not true. There are so many people leaving out of fear, leaving their homes, moving into mountains, drilling holes in the side of mountains, packing up and leaving everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people are doing that are losing their livelihoods, losing their jobs.
These are the very small percentage of people.
Well, small or not, when you're looking at 8.5 billion people, a small percentage is pretty significant.
Yeah, but even if some... if you get the realization that this life that seems so major to all of us, if this life is just a blip in eternity of many lives, and we are all going to die eventually, and so, that it doesn't really matter whether you're dying now
You've just made my point.
5 years from now. So once you overcome your fear of death, you say, well, what the hell? I'm just going to anchor these higher energies that I'm here. And as far as I can understand, by doing that, you ensure you're going to have when you do it out of high intent, you have the best experience.
Exactly.
You're
making my point. You see what I mean? What my point is there's two messages, and one is saying, don't worry, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's saying, worry. Because things are going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
Which one should you attune to?
Well,
what should you do? That's the question. The question you're saying is, attune to the higher energies, and since we're living here and it's a blip, don't worry, be happy. In other words, follow the message of the higher vibration, which is that of peace, love, and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were saying, well, they can ambush you. Well, look, I can walk outside, folks, and I can be hit by a car. I can be hit by a plane, for all of that matters, or a comet, or I could be slapped in the face by my wife. Whatever the case, something bad could happen. But if we dwell on that, then we start to manifest it, and it becomes a lesson that we obviously are choosing to continually explore.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, when there are these messages and they're on the internet, and there's one of a fearful or of a fearful message, and the other is more of a loving message, which one do you wish to actualize? Which one do you want to manifest? Which one do you want to live? Which one do you want to attune to? Which one do you want to make real? So that's where I'm coming to when it comes to these messages. I believe people should tune in less to the news, get rid of the news, shut off your TV, quit listening to the mainstream, but that's my humble opinion. I think you should then start doing a little inner meditating, soul searching, find out who you are, what makes you happy, and enjoy that as long as it doesn't make anyone unhappy. But when it comes to the various frequencies and vibrations of these messages that many of us, including myself, are spending a lot of research and time going through and listening, I think it's best to detach ourselves from those that have any fear or negative emotional consequence that attaches itself to us, and remove ourselves from that and say, okay, I understand what they're saying, but I'm just going to detach myself from it and not worry about it, not have any fear about it. Heck, don't even think about it.
Well, Don, I would also say at the same token, it's not a bad idea to store some food and water. not out of fear, but just in case there's shortages.
But see, that's a whole different matter, and I agree.
You know, some people would say, well, what if something does happen? What if the trucks break down? So it's not a bad idea to get some canned food, go to the 99-cent store, spend $100 on canned food, and put it somewhere.
Well, sure, it's a good idea to have Band-Aids.
That's right. But that's not out of fear. In other words,
exactly.
I mean, it's like if you're living in a city and there's a bad neighborhood, maybe you might get hit on or robbed, or if you walk through it.
I'd rather get hit on.
You'd rather get hit on, all right. Well, you know, it's good to know where the neighborhood is so you avoid it, okay? I mean, you know, some people stick their head in the sand and they don't want to know where the neighborhood is until it, how did that happen? You know, it's like, obviously, there's going to be things that happen in the future that are going to not be very pleasant for lots of people. I believe that's going to be true from everything I've seen. And
well,
when
you mean a lot of people, do you mean everybody who's on this planet, regardless of their vibratory capacity at this time? Or do you mean those people that haven't resonated to the higher frequencies?
Well, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, I think he was still hurting. It's never pleasant.
Now, that can be debated.
Yeah.
That's a debatable issue.
Well,
many higher sources says he felt no pain.
Yeah.
And that most of what has been portrayed in your biblical record and your mm-hmm. religious dogma is completely false.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, this part of the show is supposed to be, you know, we're going to run, Don and I.
Well, we are, but I can't find it.
You can't find it?
I know it's here somewhere,
Jesus.
But I cannot find it.
Michael Sharp, if his people are listening, I told him to announce it to the people that have read his book. And if they're listening, I hope we find it by the end of the show, else we're going to run it next week, and we're going to be really embarrassed. But you're going to have to call Michael and apologize.
I can do that. I'm good at that. I make so many mistakes now. Hey, apology is every other word.
Michael has a book, a couple books out. And he does get channeled information, and his books are very practical.
Oh, he sent them to me, and I started reading them, and I'm going to tell you, incredible is the only word I can describe his books. I mean, just incredible.
I have his book in front of me, Dossier of the Ascension.
Yeah.
And whether you choose to believe that ascension is real or not, the information in the book on getting through your shadow side and opening up your chakras just stands alone. I'm going to read something out of it. I'm going to read something from Michael Sharp's book.
That.
And while I'm reading it, Don, will you find the interview we did with him?
Certainly.
You look for it.
I will try to look for it now.
Okay. Are you going to be listening to me while I'm reading it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is page 55. It's called Dossier of Ascension. And this is available on Amazon or Michael Sharp's website, michaelsharp.org. And the first obstacle, fear, and I'm reading this because it's kind of what we're talking about. It is not an overstatement for me to suggest that fear is the single biggest obstacle we all face in our process of awakening and activation. It is certainly significant in our quest for truth, because we often turn away from the truth when we are afraid of the implications. Fear is even more salient on the path of activation, where it literally causes you to close your chakra system and run away from spirit screaming in terror. The operation of fear is simple. Whenever you are afraid of something, you withdraw from the thing you are afraid of. If you are afraid of fire, you don't go near fire, correct? It is the same with manifestation and creation. If you are afraid of aspects of this physical universe, if you are afraid of your divine self, if you are afraid of the creative process, you withdraw from those. In your physical body, you withdraw your arms and legs. On the astral level and higher, you withdraw energy from your chakras. Consider your throat chakra as an example of how this works. Without getting into a lot of technical detail, we can say that the throat chakra passes the divine creative energies of expression into the physical world. Someone with an activated throat chakra tells the truth, tells their personal truth, and finds respectful and uplifting ways to communicate the truth. However, make someone afraid to tell the truth by punishing them whenever they speak up without raising their hand, making them feel stupid whenever they tell the truth, or teaching that communication is linked with hierarchy and authority, and they will resist the expression of their energies or express them in inappropriate ways. The restriction of speech has a profound impact on your physical body and your chakras. Withholding speech is a clear signal of intent and tells the chakras you do not wish to express their energies, so they close gradually but inevitably. Consider the crown chakra as another example. The crown chakra is your bodily connection to the hierarchy of consciousness. For those that don't know, this is Lynn speaking. The crown chakra is at the top of your head, and this is where the energies come in or leave your body, depending on which way you're going, and go through the seven chakras, your third eye, your throat, your heart, your groin, your stomach. And the goal is to have all your chakras open. And part of having them open, this is Wynn speaking still, is to have the experiences needed to open them. I mean, for some people, sex is part of the experience to open the lower chakras. Sometimes people who are on a spiritual path open up their high chakras and avoid their low chakras because they judge them. And that's not being complete. It's a matter of getting them all the way through. And now let me go back to Michael. Through the crown chakra, you get full and unrestricted access to our massive and powerful spiritual consciousness. In a normal functioning body, this means that your brain mind is able to connect to the hierarchy via the neural pathways in the brain. With the pathways operating at full efficiency, you basically become connected to everyone in the universe who agrees to communicate with you. Now, that's how people channel. This can be an amazing experience, and the full opening of this connection is highly prized by mystics and others on the path. If you are afraid of this connection, you will not use it. You will restrict your chakra energies, deny the connection exists, and even shut it off completely. There are many reasons you will do this. You will do it because you are afraid you are going crazy. You begin hearing voices, experiencing thoughts that are not yours, or hearing ringing noises, or afraid that you're demonically possessed. For the more archaically Christian bodies out there, you will also shut down the energy when you are afraid of God. This weird but all too common fear occurs when you are taught that God is authoritative, patriarchal, and punishing. After all, why would you willingly face something that is going to judge you and might potentially damn you to eternal suffering? Nobody in his or her right consciousness would move willingly towards that kind of obscenity. So this is Michael Sharp's book, Dossier of the Ascension. And I would say it's not very expensive and it's not very long. It's 200 pages. And it's one of those books you can read a little bit at a time. And actually, just the reading of it helps open your chakras up, because it describes, to me, it describes the kind of experiences that we all are challenged, being in a physical body, being around people that we can't be ourselves with, that we can't, but most of us create people in our lives that we need to please, that we want to please, and so we can't be totally who we are around those people. And a lot of times, even when there's nobody around, we have the voices of our parents in our mind saying, oh, this would be very good if you did this, and I would approve of you if you did this. And I remember when I was younger and I would have dates, I would think not so much of how did I feel about this woman and what was my connection with her, but, God, this is a woman my father would really approve of. Since he never approved of me, at least if I had a girlfriend he would approve of, I'd get some approval. So, I mean,
Did he approve of me?
I don't know. Here, a rough one.
Well, I tell you, after what I'm about to say, your folks won't approve of me at all. They won't even let me sleep over.
Okay.
I can't find it, Wynn. I'm telling you, I've looked everywhere, and
we're going to have to read more of Michael's books. Just because if any...
Well, I'd like to have him... You know, I'd like to have him on as a guest and...
Well, we had him on as a guest. Now you're... Don, you're being flaky. Yeah, jeez.
I know. And you know, I'm going to tell you, it's the first one I've lost now out of all the archives we've had since August 1st. It's the first one I've lost. And Michael, I apologize. I apologize right now to you live.
Is it in your computer somewhere?
It is not. And I believe it's because when I was going to put it up last week.
Yeah.
And then we decided not to do the show because we were, you know, in that transitional period.
Yeah.
I left it on the other computer and then deleted the stream file folder from the other computer because I moved from I work here with three computers, folks, digital hybrids, outboard mixers, inboard mixers, software, and I mean, you name it. So it's a little crazy. And when I moved it over to the streaming computer, what happened was, you know, I streamed everything that day or thought I did, and then I deleted the folder because that's what I normally do. And I had forgot that when I moved it over, I was supposed to save it because... You know, I was supposed to have saved it so that I could then run it again or put it into a different folder and remember that. But obviously, I was too distracted and ended up clearing it out, and it's gone. I already know that now, unfortunately, because that's coming back to my mind when I did that. And so, you can shoot me now or shoot me later.
Okay.
Shoot me now.
Listen, let's go on with what's inspiring and important to people that are listening, okay? So, you know, there's a woman named Pam Lonnizak. Lonnizak. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. And she's
well, if you're not.
She read my book, and she started an email interchange with me. We've talked on the phone, and she's a person that channels. And the book is actually, it seems to be increasing her own channel contacts because of the vibration of the book and the Ra channeling. So, you know, we've had conversations about my conversations with the Elohim, and she sent me a channeling she did just recently, and I think it's got a lot of wisdom in it. I thought I would read it. And The channeling is who's it signed by? Mary Magdalene is in it. And do we know if you say Mary Magdalene, or if you say Jesus, or if you say any big shot, there's a tendency to say, "Wow, this must be the truth." Well, whether this is Mary Magdalene or anyone else, it doesn't matter. Because there's a resonance to me, there's a resonance in the words that rings true. So I'm going to read this channeling, and Don, are you listening, Don?
Of course, I'm always listening.
Tell me what you think. You know, it kind of is in the spirit of what we're talking about on this show, and it talks about it from the higher realms. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty King of Creation. When you hear those words, do you think of Mother, Father, God? Or Jesus, for while we are all one, we are also separate entities who come from the ultimate creators. Yet all of us are creators in our own right. It certainly can become complicated. Sometimes the distinctions can get very blurred thanks to different religious beliefs. There is a hierarchy in the heavens, just as you have on the earth plane. We are not speaking of the moneyed, those who live in poverty, and anyone in between. We are speaking of various levels of enlightenment. You do not have to be rich or poor to be in this class. It is a matter of how open you are to universal truth. Here on this side of the veil, we also have souls who are doing work with individuals on your side, and they have different levels of enlightenment. This is necessary because people are in different places on their journey. If a person has just begun to be exposed to such esoteric material, the information becomes very philosophical, esoteric, and complicated. The initiate can become confused and frightened, so you must move slowly and carefully. On the other hand, those who have done much reading and studying are ready to walk down another path. They will be working with one of the higher groups. it would be as on your Earth, your different degrees. Those at a PhD level will be working with such beings as the Ra's, the Ans, the Elohim. Now, it says it's An, but she said she thinks it was An, because we had the Council of An coming through. I did. These are highly advanced groups who are going to raise your level of awareness to new heights. It is these beings that are trying to elevate Earth beyond its mundane ways of living. While few have ultimate knowledge of everything, save the Mother, Father, God, these groups are what would be considered the elite. And to work with them, you must have earned the privilege. Now, I am not saying that anyone could not attain this ability. It is open to anyone. However, what I am saying is few want to make the sacrifice to do such work. To work with such souls, there are sacrifices that must be made. One is giving up your pride. There are those who have the intelligence and knowledge to be at this level, but they cannot see beyond their abilities and how superior it makes them. This does not mean you cannot be proud of your accomplishments, but when it is not tempered by a humbleness of the soul, it is your undoing. We, who are part of the Elohim, are looking for souls who are putting their time and interest aside to put forth our words and pass them on. It is not being done for their self-aggrandizement, but to help humanity. Some of their names will become familiar to you, but these are usually souls who struggle, not just financially, but with the information that is flowing through them. So who are the Elohim? They are a council of 12 who always remain the same. They are the protectors, the gods that watch over Mother Earth, Jeshua, Mother Mary, Joseph, Saint Germain, Nostradamus, the Gande soul, myself, are some of this group. We are not always in the same place at the same time, but we are never changing. There are a few groups at this level, Ra is one of them, and their responsibilities are to work with highly developed souls to teach them how this planet and the universes work together. They work at a very scientific and more universal type level. What they impart may be difficult for some to absorb and understand. We do not want you to feel this is an exclusive club. It can be inclusive. It does take work. There is no free ride. You also cannot fake it. There is not just printing a certificate and saying, this is who I am. As has been said so many times before, all ideas come from this side, and so too did having to work to achieve a degree of level of education. Now, I think she typed that wrong. Even those who may have paid to get letters after their names have been found out eventually. You cannot fake being open to our words and our works. If you try, you will run into roadblocks. Things must be clean and clear and able to flow freely. So you now know if you are being visited by the Ra energies, the Atans or the Ans from Pleiades, or the Elohim, the high level of metaphysical development that allows such words, ideas, and instructions to flow. Every one of you has the potential to reach such levels. We should be at that situation. How much higher would be the resonance level on Earth? You would truly be seeing peace on Earth. So no one is holding you back. We would welcome you with open arms and hearts. The more light workers, the better. And imagine living in a place where everyone truly cared for one another and had your best interests at heart. Well, that exactly describes who the Elohim, Ra, the Atans, and the others are and do. We all care so deeply, we never give up on you. So many opportunities for growth are presented, and every portal is opened to get your attention. You are our dearest children, and as parents care for their families on Earth, we see you all as our family. No matter your color, status, ethnic background, education, or beliefs. Therefore, we will do our best to protect, enlighten, counsel, and most of all, love you unceasingly. However, you must also do your part and decide, what do I want to take with me into eternity? Whoever you are in today's society, remember, becomes part of all of who you have been since your creation. You have the power in your hands. How you wield it is your choice and ultimate destiny. I am Mary Magdalene. The Ra energies are amazing and old souls that are formed to consolidate information and pass it on to those who reach and have the potential to reach their vibrational level. Potent and full of amazing wisdom that has made the difference to so many lives, they are perfectionists and demanding of themselves as they are of their proteges. It is an excellent opportunity and privilege to work with them. Einstein, Newton, Da Vinci, Edison, and Tesla are just some of the Ra energy people. The Elohim comprise a group that has come down to the Earth planet to try in human form to change this world path. They are highly advanced souls who choose to incarnate at specific times when the destiny of this planet needed to go in a certain direction. Many times they made a difference, but it was usually through hard work and not without ends that would not be chosen by many. So often they were close to controversy and accepted by some and rejected by others, even to this day. Yet they persevered and earned their place in the heavens. One thing is you never forget their lives, and they have always made an impression in their place when they decided to take on Earth form. They talk about struggle because they lived it. When they speak, it is not from some plane where human life has barely touched them, but they have walked the walk and talked the talk. Each one knows how hard this life is, and so they have great compassion and love for their children. We are the Council of Ten and many above.
I got to say, that is absolutely, absolutely fantastic. And I can resonate with every word that was said. And I thank you for that, because, again, I not only believe what is being said here, but it comes back to that old saying is, again, what do you want to take with you into creation?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, not only that, but what that means is, how do you wish to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on how you wish to perceive things. And if you wish to perceive things as being a cup that's always half full, mm-hmm. then you're always going to get a half full cup. But if you wish to perceive it as a cup as being full, then you're going to perceive it as such, or at least you're going to be on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way with resonating with these messages that are coming forth. There's many of them. There is so many of them. And I know that because that's a lot of what bloginservice.com and BBS Radio does. We bring forth the messages. We don't like to say one message we're going to deliver and the other message we're not. We're trying to deliver a lot of different messages. However, we're trying to keep those messages of a new age type of a theme.
I would say, just because something is on blogging doesn't mean it doesn't require everyone's discernment.
Correct. Correct.
Everything that you put on, I mean, we're just dumb humans. I don't even believe my messages.
Yeah.
I mean, discern.
I agree.
Discern stuff.
I agree.
We put stuff up, you know, I believe that there's very wise sources that are communicating through many people. And they're giving a lot of keys, like this, the channeling of Pam that I just read.
Right.
You know, there's no doctrine in that. There's nothing. There's resonance. There's nothing in there that could mislead you. There's nothing in there to blindly follow.
Right.
You know, it stands on its own. When you're finished, it's complete and it's done, and you're a little wiser.
And it'll be the same 10,000 years from now.
Yeah. And I mean, we should have her on as a guest one day.
I would like that.
I mean, you know. She's not a big famous person. She does some writing she's a writer. She's writing an article about my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And, I mean, she was flipped out over it. Flipped out because, you know, she's channeled for years and the book has like deepened her channelings because of the Ra. You know, the Ra she talks about here is the Ra who's talking through David Wilcock in the book. And, those of you who are listening, and want to get the inside information, I believe, on how this is all working, want to create the resonance with a high source that I'll give my endorsement to, and understand what's happening on our planet, but not only understand in your mind, have the opportunity to actually connect. My book gives that opportunity. If you use it right, I think it's like an initiation into the raw energy. Now, you have to be open to it, and it's not like believing it. You'll feel something. You'll feel a shift. I used to read the channelings, and I could feel all this light come into the room. Some of you who are listening right now feel that light energy right where you are. And, I believe it's not Don and I's great personality. Certainly not Don's. It's not our personality. You know, it's the dedication to spirits that we've both kind of given permission to high forces that are service to others to work through this show and reach listeners. And we're getting the feedback sometimes that somebody hears the show and they feel it. They get the energy. Hi, Karen Tackett. I shouldn't say her last name. Hi, Karen, if you're listening. You know, you don't know how rewarding it is to know that you're getting it. And, you know, one person at a time. I see down the road this show going out and people all over the world tuning in and helping to anchor this light energy, this higher dimensional energy on the planet so that we can, you know,
it's really all about love, isn't it?
Do our part in healing stuff. You know, Don, when you say it's all about love, God, you come up with these, how do you say it, things that are like, you know.
Throwaway messages.
Right. You know, when you say it's all about love, it's like, you know.
I'm getting that, you know, that cozy feeling inside, you know. So I just had to say that.
The thing about it is it's all about the here and now. It's all about being in the moment and being 100% in the moment and having your energy, experiencing your energy, not just, how would you say it, collapsed into your body, but expanded out of your body. Each of us has the ability to take this energy that is our soul, our life force, and expand it into the space around us, expand it to the people around us. Now, that's what love is, really. Love is, you know, when you say it's all about love, most people go into, like, this feeling like, oh, I love you, oh, you know, and it's like, it's not
how you do it.
It's not expanding though. It's actually just expanding the energy that's already in you, outside of you, to the people around you. And then,
oh, come on now, it's all about love.
That's love. That's what love is.
That's what I mean.
But the problem is, I remember.
See, I get them stuttering, folks, when I talk about love.
When I was younger and I was going through all my pain, which I've gone through huge amounts of pain, and it's like, and people would say, it's all about love. I would say, screw you, man, you got no idea. You know, come on, Wen, cheer up. I know there's people that listen, and you know what? When you say that, they discard everything because they say, it's not reaching
this
me.
This guy's a flake.
People got to know that you understand their pain and their suffering, and don't make it so simple. I mean, did you like my song, Recycled Pain? You know,
I loved it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's about that. You know, Don is, you know, I sent Don, I've been recording my old songs and together an album of 11 songs, and pretty soon I'll make it available to people. Three of the songs on the album are available for download. Is that on the Don and Wynn show?
A few of the songs, sorry about the beep, but again, folks, we started this show a little backwards, so We're going to hear a little beeping every now and again, but yeah, it, four of the songs are on the Dawn and Wind page. And
so that's the dawnandwindshow.com page.
Correct.
And, you know, download them for free, share them with other people, and you can hear who I was 20 years ago when I was hitchhiking around the country, and I was, like, having all these amazing experiences of synchronicity, and I said to myself, there's another world that people aren't seeing, and I wanted to put it in my music, and so...
You remind me of a Willie Nelson mixed with...
Say John Lennon.
Well, yeah, a little John Lennon, but I was going to say... a little bit of
Randy Newman.
No.
People tell me a little bit of
it's not Frank Sinatra.
No,
it's
don't.
It's not Bing Crosby.
No, definitely.
It's a little bit of
Bob Dylan.
Dinah Shore.
Who?
No, I think you have your own flavor, like Willie Nelson,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a wonderful, wonderful, uplifting music, rhythm, mm-hmm. melody, and I love it. I mean, I the more I listen to it, the more I like it, and I'll tell mm-hmm. you, I now listen to it on a daily basis, the whole CD, probably the one you just sent me, because mm-hmm. it's got 10 or 11 songs on it,
mm-hmm.
and I listen to it every day, probably 4 or 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm. Don, you're my fan.
I'm your fan.
Okay.
I'm the fan.
Actually.
He has what they call a fan club.
I think.
And I'm that fan.
I think what's good about my songs is not only is there a resonance in them. I mean, you know, there's a vibration in them that's, you know, my vibration, but there is. I was going through a lot of stuff when I was writing those songs. And it's the kind of stuff that a lot of people go through. And, you know, I was able to translate the experience into the music so that there's a teaching kind of mechanism in the lyrics. Because it was my truth. It's taking my life and my truth and putting it down there. And, of course, it's not really my life and my truth. It's our life and our truth because we all go through the same things. So, you know, the goal was to put things in words that everyone goes through, but people don't talk about that much. So,
Whoa. Did you hear that?
What?
I don't know. It was bang. I think, whoa, there it is again.
I don't hear
Whoa, there it is again.
What?
I don't know, but
I don't think
I'm definitely getting excited.
It's not coming out on the phone.
Oh, it's coming from me. I'll brag about that.
Okay. So maybe by next week I'll put up a link where people can get the whole album. Actually, I keep wanting to do more work on it, and I probably will. But, you know, as it stands now, it's pretty listenable. It's got my cranky voice, which sometimes is out of key, but it stands on its own. I like my songs, and I think... If people are enjoying the show, they'll like them, too.
There's a name of the song for you.
Huh?
Stands on its own.
Stands on its own, right. Okay. So we're over the time, of course, since we do our own thing, we can do whatever we want, right?
Well, that's right. We're not booking any other shows after the Dawn and Wind show, just so that we can rant and rave on the air as long as we want.
Well, eventually we'll have guests on. You know, we'll give people exposure.
We might even be able to save a few of the archives of the guests that we do have on.
That's right. If you don't erase them. But, you know, I read a little bit of Michael Sharp's book, The Sea of Ascension. It's got a website, michaelsharp.org. And those of you that resonated with the idea of the raw material, you'll want to read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Available at caseysback.com. Don's got all these links up on blogging. You can listen to 3 of my songs, 4 of my songs, which Don put up, which are MP3.
And order the CD. I mean,
I don't have the CD up yet. So.
Well, you got to get a promo for that CD because, folks, listen, I mean, email Wim. Tell him, you know, you want to order one of his CDs when he gets them done because, I mean, I'll play it every now and again, but I promise you it's really something that'll just kind of touch you more and more and more kind of like a good friend.
You like good friends touching you, huh? Okay. You don't explain that, Don?
I apologize, though. Also, my voice has been really hoarse.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a cold that I have. And in fact, I wanted to explain something that you did for me and that what happened afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really something, because Wynn and I call in the light at the end of each show, and I just love Wynn for doing that, because it's always one of the best parts of our show. And I was pretty overtaxed a couple nights ago, By that I mean working too hard, not enough sleep, not enough food, and really quite a mess. And it's funny, because I ground fairly well, or I believe I do, and I try to remain as happy and centered and detached from any of the fears, messages that, of course, are put out. And I try to resonate with the higher messages, but I still have my days, as we all do. And this was one of the worst days I've had in a long time. And the cold had hit me, and my ear, I had an ear infection that was so intensely bad that I was getting angry. And Wynn had called me, and I was just, and I was speaking to my brother, Doug Newsom, God loves him, speaking to him, and we were in a little bit of a tiff, and my ear was hurting, and it was just getting to the point where I'd probably got violent if I stayed on the phone, because I was just in that much pain and overtaxed.
Hey, Don.
So Wynn called in the light for me.
Could we have you and Doug get on sometime and do an argument on our show?
Sure. We could call it the Don and Wynn Doug argument.
That's right.
You know, I named my kids John, Sean, and the other one Tom. So we have Don, Sean, Dom. Don. See, I can't even say it, folks. And my wife.
I think we got to make sure people know we're human. We go through all the stuff. You know, when you talk about all this stuff, they think, "Oh, those guys aren't human. Those guys are far out." I'm human. I'm going through all these problems.
Well, we're definitely far out. We're out of there.
Yeah.
You know, but Wynn called in the light for me, folks. And believe me, when I get an earache, I've never known it to last me less than a week of intense pain, and it hit me that late afternoon, and by the evening again, it was so severe that I was really choppy. And Wynn calls in the light. I go to bed. I mean, I went immediately to bed because I just couldn't stand up anymore. And I called in the light myself during a meditation, and I asked my healing guide. Now, you can take this as you wish. Again, I mean, this is my experience, and I believe it to be truth. But I called in my healing guide, and I've seen him before, his energy outline, and he's visited me on a couple occasions. He's even visited my twin brother at the same time of the same night at different locations, and we called each other up the following morning to say, "Hey, did you experience that?" Well, anyways, he came this time dressed in furs and feathers, and he is an Indian, and he is my healing guide. And the other guides that I have don't look like, don't dress or look like him at all. But this guy put the energy outline came. He was dressed in this white fur. He puts his hand on my ear and his head on my chest. And I hear this whizzing and this popping and this clearing. And that took place for about 6-7 minutes. And then this high-pitched ultrasonic sound came into my ear. Now, I hear ringing all the time, and probably many of you do. I don't know whether it's the energies, the earthquakes, who knows? I mean, I personally believe it's the energies, but some people say, no, it's the earthquake, it's the earth frequencies, well, whatever. But this one was almost like a supersonic, very loud, intensely weird, high-pitched sonic ring. And that lasted for about, another 10 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes in there, he left. And my ear was better. I mean, not one bit of pain. Because I was touching around my face and my ear, and I was in so much pain. And now, after he'd left, I was touching this left side of my face, feeling my ear, no pain. I mean, none. I woke up the following morning, I could hear as good as at any time, absolutely no earache whatsoever. And you know, that's the first time. I've had a lot of experiences, but that's the first time I've actually win, and I've called in the light for myself and one of my dis-ease or health-related issues. And then I did, it called in the light myself while alone, and I actually seen it occur, had it occur, and the whole situation was almost surreal. But I believe, folks, that the reason I'm saying this to you is because we all have those beings of higher service to other evolution that are around us, that want us to be happy, healthy, and joyous. And if we ask them, and we do this also even with another person to increase that strength of our message or of our plea, it will come about. So I really wanted to share that with you because it was an extraordinary event for me. And
so we're going to do that right now. Right?
Excellent. Excellent.
I mean, it's like, and those of you who are listening, be open, because right in this moment, maybe we can have that experience happen with you. Don, who's the fellow up in Scandinavia that listens to us?
In the Netherlands, that's Gerard.
Gerard. Just wanted to say hello to Gerard. Gerard, we're going to send you special light so that we connect across the grid lines from, I'm in California, Don is in Texas, and you're in the Netherlands. You know, my visualization when I do this, and it's a visualization that every listener is connected to us by the light or the grid lines of the planet, and that we're going to invoke that connection so that it becomes real. And for a moment, now some of you is just going to be, think it's your imagination. Some of you may not even know anything is happening, and it is. And some of you are going to experience something in your body. And as you get to tune into this energy more, it will become more of an experience where you say, I really felt something. And we are actually connecting. You know, the way a group soul, like we're talking about the Elohim and Ra being group souls, the way they started is part of the, on the evolutionary path, we're on a planet. And for a moment, we right now can become a group energy, which is the beginning of a group soul.
You know, I love the way you just put that. Thank you. That's absolutely right, Wynn.
Right. And so by becoming a group energy, we also make ourselves visible to them. They can access us. You know, when your energy is all contained and compressed, it's very hard for the higher sources to access you. Your energy, you have to meet halfway by expanding your energy. And part of that is processing your trauma, your fear, the things that keep you from expanding your energy. And part of it is just intending it to be so, because intention is the most powerful tool for penetrating the veil. Even though you don't experience anything, you know, when you intend it and it starts to happen and you get feedback that it happens. So this is our moment right now for all of us listening to join in this group energy that we're creating. We are creating it in the Don and Wynn Show. Not me and Don, you, me, Don, you who is listening. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person who's listening, tuned in right now, and that this light can pass through their bodies. For those that are sensitive, they can experience it. They can experience an energy around them and moving through them with your permission to allow this energy to move through you, to move through your chakra systems, to start out on the crown, go to the throat, go to the heart, go through the stomach, go through your feet, and allow this energy to extend from the galactic center through your body into the center of the earth, and see a column of light around you, and expand that energy into your home, into the people you love and care for. Send it to them that they might feel it. See this energy surrounding our planet. See us all tied together on the grid lines for just this moment and sharing a moment of communion. Send this energy to the people that you know need it for their highest good. Send it right now. Think of people you know that need healings, that are going through troubles. Think of the people that were in the hurricane, the people in Iraq. We send this energy to all of them. And we give our permission to allow the positive service to other groups, souls, and individual souls on the other side that we're connected with to work through us. We can help better their energy and their wisdom on this plane. And we just take a moment and feel the communion of all our energies right at this moment. And when you ask for things, ask always in the highest good of all concerned. We never want to use this energy for self-serving purposes and hurt one person to have our request fulfilled, and somebody should be hurt because of that. So always include the highest good of all concerned. And I thank you all for tuning in with us and listening. And I'm glad that we can serve you. I hope we're serving you by putting this hour or so together. We apologize to anybody from Michael Sharp's group that we promised we were going to play his tape, and Don lost it. And so we're going to have to...
I sincerely do apologize, Michael, because your information and your books, and if they go to michaelsharp.com, they can get
.org,
it.
.org, michaelsharp.org.
Right. It's just absolutely, I think, not only wonderful, but... necessary and needed information. And I really wish that, I could emphasize the point of how necessary that information is, especially to those people wanting to learn more about who they are and what it's all about, but how to get there. And that's what he outlined so, so beautifully.
You know, when things come from high sources and you read them, you connect with the energy of the source. And it's very important for all of us to inundate ourselves with positive sources so that we anchor our own connection and can hold this energy as planet goes through transitions.
Right, detaching from the negative and resonating with the positive. In fact, you know that when you said you're when you called in the light today, I felt the energy. I felt the energy, and I felt it stronger this time than I've ever felt it. So it's getting stronger and stronger, and I hope those that are listening are tuning into that energy and helping us to ground that into the planet and spreading it out to those that need it the most, including our illustrious president and those people that are a part of his cabal, because that's what it is. But I mean, without any reservation, we need to send those people our love and hope that they take that love and learn to integrate it within their being, because we're all one big family after all. And we should always wish everybody the utmost in life. And,
Don, we should say for people that felt something from that energy.
Yes.
You know, don't be afraid to, take that invocation and sit down with the person who's your partner, your wife, or your friend, somebody that, can go along with it and say it out loud, because pray it forward. Yeah. I have that invocation or kind of a, somewhat version of it up on prayitforward.net. And, use it often. Sometimes even when things are really screwy I mean, this really works when things, when people are angry with each other or they go through their shadow expression, especially somebody you're close to, you say, stop, let's call in the light. It suddenly clears the energy, because what it does is it creates the intent to have communion of souls. And that intent is real. And then your high self follows the intent and energy. So it's a really cheap tool for keeping things up. And
sorry about that beeping again.
It's a good thing to practice. It's a little thing. It's a big thing. So, Don, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. We're going to re-interview Michael Sharp and have him on.
Absolutely. If he'll have us.
If he's not mad at us, you're going to have to call him and apologize.
I can do that.
Maybe we'll have Pam Blasnick on, and who did that beautiful channeling.
Wouldn't that be tremendous?
And she's a kick, you know? She's a really neat person to talk to. And so, God bless you all.
Thank you, Wynn, for being here again today. Folks, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in. I sincerely appreciate your time. And we wish you a wonderful evening and a wonderful rest of the weekend. Again, you've been listening to bbsradio.com. And we wish you well on your journey. Good night. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.